Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. We are continuing our series of Holocaust responsive, and we are learning from the Sefer Mimam Okim of Rav Ephraim Oshri. And this question is in the fourth volume, and it's the seventh question. The question is about a Jew who is a Mechalel Shabbos, and he comes to the ghetto where all the Jews are, and he says, at least now I'll be buried amongst Jews without any discrimination. And he dies in the Kovner ghetto. Is it mutter to bury him amongst the Shomrei Shabbos? We know that one isn't allowed to be kover a Rasha Eitzel Tzaddik. So this person who definitely didn't have the status of a Tzaddik. But the question is, can we now bury him amongst Jews who do have the status of Tzaddikim? So now we're going to see in greater detail. That's the headline of the Shaila. Yehudi Mechal Shabbos Shabbalagito. A Jew is Mechal Shabbos who comes to the ghetto, and he says, at least now I will be buried amongst the Jews without any discrimination. And he died there in the ghetto. Is it mutter to bury him amongst the Shomrei Shabbos? So the question was asked as follows. B'yamim chashuchim elu, in these very dark days which Rav Ashri describes at the very beginning, the part that we skipped, that things were so horrible, it sounded like HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't answering our prayers, and the Goyim are, Rachmana Litzlan, torturing the Jews, the Nazis are killing the Jews and torturing them, the Misos Mishunos, and then they decided something new, that not only are the Germans concerned, quote-unquote, with the living, they're also concerned with the dead. And what did they say? They said that the Jews in the ghetto have to take care of their dead and bury them in their cemeteries. What cemetery? What cemetery did the Germans determine that should be the cemetery of the Jews? Oh, they determined that the cemetery of the Jews should be what used to be the city garbage dump. That's what the Germans said. You have to bury your people, and you have to bury them in the city garbage dump. What used to be the city garbage dump, it smelled, and now you have to bury your people there. That was what one of the cruel, sadistic ideas that the Germans had. Besides that, they said that you're not allowed to put matzevos on the kfarim, and rather, every dead person should just have a number, and that's it, like dogs, bury them like dogs, even without a matseva on top of the grave. And afterwards, then they said, Beseder, you're allowed to put wooden matsevos on the graves. After that, they changed their minds, if we can call their minds minds. Nevertheless, despite the burial, the kvuras chamorim, as Rav Ashri calls it, this burial of donkeys, the way they made us bury the Jews. Despite that, the Jews were consoled by the fact that the Germans allowed them to bury all the Jews in one place. And many people, all they wanted was to be buried, to be given a proper Jewish burial. They were already knew they were going to die. So at least they wanted to be given proper Jewish burial, and now at least they were able to. Because the Germans said that the Jews have to bury them. So Baruch Hashem, at least they get to have a Jewish burial, even though it wasn't in the ideal place. Vayhi hayom, one day it happened, says Rav Oshri, v'ish echad miklue ha-ghetto meis mi-machla mam-eres, one of the people in the ghetto died from a cancerous disease. Mitoch yisurim noroim v'kashim, from horrible shreklecha pains. Ki arashoim agermanim lo nasnu l'rofe hagito l'hazrik zrikos hardama. They didn't allow any painkillers for those people in the ghetto. So that's what a doctor by the name of Dr. Zacharin told Rav Oshri. And therefore this person wasn't allowed to be given any painkillers. And he died in excruciating pain. Now this person was a man who left his store open on Shabbos and Yontif, didn't come to shul, until he got to the ghetto. And when he gets to the ghetto, he was heard to say, now if I die, at least I will be buried amongst the Jews, like we said at the outset. And because he knew that if he would have died earlier before the war, then they would not have buried him amongst the other kosher Jews, amongst the Shomrei Shabbos, because the non-Shomrei Shabbos aren't buried amongst together with the Shomrei Shabbos. It's halach and Shulchan Aruch. So this person said, Baruch Hashem, now, at least when I die, I'll be buried amongst Jews, because there's only one place for them to bury me. They can't bury me somewhere else. However, nobody knew exactly how he acted from the time he got to the ghetto. Was he still a Mechal Shabbos? He didn't start coming to shul in the ghetto, so maybe he still continued not keeping mitzvahs, b'chlal. Or maybe he did tshuva. Maybe in his heart he decided he wants to return to Hashem. He's going to die anyway. There's no schar in Olam Haba for doing averus. So maybe he stopped doing averus. He knew he was going there anyway soon enough. Maybe he had shu charata, and he became a baal tshuva. So Rav Ashri was asked, how should they act with him when they bury him? Ech lehisnai gito b'eis kvurasa. Haim yesh linog bo mina kvuras yehudi kasher shomer Torah v'das, m'pnei shechazer b'tshuva shleima, k'fi shemidin tvar v'eis shuva legito. Maybe we should act towards him in his burial like any other kosher Jew, because maybe he did tshuva. Or maybe really he didn't do tshuva, and therefore we shouldn't give him a nice Jewish burial. So should we bury him with the same cover that we would give to a Shomer Shabbos? Or without that? You have to put him in. Put him in the ground, but that's it, without any of the cover you would give to a Shomer Shabbos, to a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. So does this person have the status of a Jew? Of a good upstanding Jew? Shomer Torah Mitzvahs? Or does he not? So now Rav Ashri comes to answer this question. So first he quotes the various sugyas in Sanhedrin which talk about Kvura, and Daf Mem Hei, and Daf Mem Vav, and Daf Mem Zayin. And we see from these sugyas that the Yesod of Kvura, that's Nog and Am Yisrael, is really a mitzvah from the Torah that we learn from the fact that you bury Haruge Beis Din. It says about those killed by the Beis Din, Ki Kavor Tikvarenu. So they must be buried. And so to all Jews, from that pasuk we learn, there's a mitzvah to bury them. However, there's a difference between Haruge Beis Din and Stam Jews. All Jews, you bury them in the burial plots of their forefathers, Kivros Abaseihem and Haruge Beis Din. You don't bury Bikivros Abaseihem, because you're not allowed to bury a Rasha next to a tzaddik. Rather, you bury them where Bimakoma. You have a separate place for them. But after they already had kapara, after their body dissolved, and you gather their bones together, and then you're allowed to put them back in their rightful place. That's which Rashi explains is Bekivras Avosav. So the Haruge Beis Din are not allowed to be buried together with the regular Jews, but after their body disintegrates, so then they can be put back with their Kivros Avosehim. And on all Nesim, Gemara says, you mourn. And Haruge Beis Din, there's no Dine Avelus. However, as far as the Etzem Din of Kvura, the Etzem Din of Kvura applies both to Haruge Beis Din and to all other Jews. Even to Rishayim. We even bury Rishayim. Some people are happy when they bury Rishayim. And then Rav Ashri quotes a Tosfos in the Gemara and Daf Mem Zayin and Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, that the mitzvah of Kvura is for all people. All people. It's not possible, Tosas, Kasha, Teretz, but the emergence from Tosas also that mitzvah's Kvura yechrechitz l'chol ha-mesim. All mesim. No exceptions. And the Rambam also writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and Mitzvah Reish Laman Aleph, Hu shetzivanu likbor haruge beis din biyom shenergu. So all Haruge Beis Din are killed on the day they're killed, as it says, you should be buried on that day. Ki kabor tikvarenu is a mitzvah's essay. That a person should be buried on the day of his death. And that's a mitzvah from the Torah. And the Rambam paskins on the 12th parak of Hilchas Avel, Halacha Aleph, that it's a kavod, it's an honor to give a eulogy for the dead person. However, if the dead person made a tzivui not to eulogize him, you don't do so. But if he requested that you don't bury him, you don't listen to him. Because burial is a mitzvah, we don't listen to him. Not to do the burial, that's what the Rambam says in the 12th parak of Hilchas Avel, Halacha Aleph. It says, Ki kavod sikvarenu. There's a mitzvah to bury him. So from all this we see, the chashivas of burial, as it emerges from the Gemara, Tosfos says it clearly, that there can't be a mitzvah that you don't have to bury. Tosfos just mechalek, that sometimes a person is not buried lefi chvodo, but burial, everybody has to be buried. And that's in Dibur HaMaskul Kvura, as I mentioned on Nem Vav Amud Beis. And we see in the Rambam that there's a mitzvah to bury, and even if the person says he doesn't want to be buried, we still have to bury him. However, there's a kasha, because the very self-same Rambam in the 14th parak of Hilchos Evel, Halacha Aleph writes that it's a mitzvah saseh, shel divrehem, it's a mitzvah derabbanon, to be mevaker chola, to be menachem avol, and to be misasik b'chol tzarchei hakvura, to be involved in all aspects of the kvura, to dig a burial plot, to bury, to eulogize, to hold the mace on the shoulder, all the different things you do. You go to a funeral, la'aleinu rachmana litzlan, we shouldn't have to be at funerals. We should never attend our own, we should never attend anybody else's, people shouldn't have to die, u'bilam avos lenetzach, u'mach Hashem l'kim dimim ya'kol panim. But at burials, you see, people want to dig part of the... They put the dirt on top of the mace, and they like to carry the mita. So these are all mitzvahs that your person is doing a chesed with the mace, and the Rambam says these are all mitzvahs medivrehem, and they're included under the subsumed under the general mitzvah medaraisa of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. So there's a big discussion in the Achronim what the Rambam means. First, the Rambam says the mitzvah derabanan, and then the Rambam quotes a pasuk v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. But in any event, the Rambam clearly says that it's a mitzvah say shel divrehem. And, maybe at best it's v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Some people learn that there's a general mitzvah, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha d'oraisa. And then the rabbis told you specific ways to be mekayim the mitzvah. One of them is to be mesamech chasin v'kala. One of them is to be menachem avol. One of them is to be mevaker chole. So, and one of them is to bury the person. So this is a rabbinic way to be mekayim the mitzvah v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, but it's really midrabbanan. The etzem mitzvah of kvura is only midrabbanan. As the Rambam says, mitzvah seseh shel divrein. So this is the Chora Stira to what the Rambam writes in the 12th parak. This is in the 14th parak. The Rambam at the beginning of the 12th parak says that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa from the pasuk of Yikavar Tikvarenu. So that's the kasha the Rav Ashri asks. And he answers by saying that maybe only the children have to do the mitzvahs asay mid'oraisa of burial, kavor tikvarenu, only the children. And in Haruge Beisdin, the Beisdin has to do the mitzvah of kavor tikvarenu. But all other people, when all other Jews are burying people, not children, and not the Beis Din, that's going to be under the general category of the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, Mitzvah Seh D'Rabbanan, that the rabbis told you how to fulfill. So in Simon Shin Lama Dalet, the Beis Yosef writes, in the name of the Rashba, that somebody was put in Chayrim because he's a sinner, and he's separated from the Derech of the Tzibor, and dies while in Nidui, dies while in his excommunication, they put a stone on his aron, on his coffin, and nevertheless they bury him. But they just show that he wasn't beseder, he wasn't okay. So they put a stone on his coffin. Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya, Simon Shin Mem Hei Sif Hei. The Mechaber writes, Kol Aparshim Medarchei Tzibur Vehem Anashim Sheparku Ol Mitzvos Me'al Tzavarim Ein Echlalim Bchal Yisrael Basiyasam Uchora Modos Vishivas Bati Knesios Bati Midrashos Elorein Kivnei Chorim La'atzman Kishar Umos. So people who separate from the tzibur, they throw off all mitzvahs. They don't want to have anything to do with the Jewish people. They don't want to have anything to do with shuls, with the Beis Knesses, with the Beis Medrash. They have no honoring the holidays. They don't want to have anything to do with that. They're like all the rest of the goyim. And mumrim, apostates, and mosrim, those who hand over Jews to the authorities when it's forbidden by the halacha. Kol Eilu ein Onim vein Misablon lehem. There's no Aninus, there's no Avelus. What do? Their family doesn't have to follow the laws of Avelus. And if you want to see what exactly the family should do, I refer you to Yoredeya Simen Shimnen Hei, Siv Hei. Ooh. And Chasim Sofer says that you're right, they're not Noheg Avelus and they're not Noheg Aninus, but we do bury them. Bury them, we bury them. And he brings a raya from Harugei Beis Din, that sometimes you have Harugei Beis Din where over you have Avodah Zarah or Mechalei Shabbos or people from a city of subverters, of Anshe Inri Dachas, people who are subverted to Avodah Zarah. So we see that even though there's no Avelus, but we're chayav to be kovar them. That's where we learn the mitzvah say of kvura. Kovar tikberenu. You just don't bury them next to the regular Jews. Al kopanim, you definitely, even these rishayim, even parshim midarkei tzibur, people who don't want to have anything to do with the Jewish people, you still give them a burial. Just, they don't get the same, there's no avelus for them, and there's no aninus for them, and there's, you don't bury them next to regular Jews, but you still have to bury them. And the Stechemed brings the very famous encyclopedic sefer of Chaim Chizkiyahu Medini, that there were a lot of Achronim discussed the Chasim Sofer, and they were Mefalpel. They said in Achinami, you have to bury them. You bury them in a Jewish cemetery. You just bury them far away from Bnei Yisrael HaKsherim. Now the Bach and Simon Shin Samach Beis, Mori Vizikni, and a lot of Sfarim, the author, if he's related to one of the poskim that he quotes, he likes to say Mori Vizikni, Adoni Avi Zikni, or all these things to show that he's related. So, one of my relatives went to Poland and found that we're descended from the Bach and the Taz. So even though it was a good few hundred years, and I don't know if the Bach would take so much pride in the fact that I'm his descendant, but nevertheless, what can I do? It's a blood connection. So Mori Vizikni the Bach. And I don't know if I used his genes to become a Talmud Chacham. That I don't think I did, but maybe to become a composer of music. Maybe I'll use it for that. The Bach. So the Bach in Simen Shin Samach Beis brings the Or Zeruah that you're not allowed to be involved in the kavura of an Adam Rasha that didn't do tshuva. That's the Bach quotes the Or Zeruah saying that you don't get involved in burying a person who was a Rasha that didn't do tshuva. And says the Bach, what is he talking about? I don't understand. We have a rule that ain't korban rasha eitzel tzaddik. You don't bury a rasha next to a tzaddik. It's muchach that you bury the rasha. You just don't bury him next to the tzaddik. And not only that, it says you don't bury a rasha chamer eitzel rasha kal. There are also different levels of rishas. So you don't bury a worse rasha with a lighter rasha. So you see, even a rasha chamer you're burying. So maybe you can be mechalek, says the Bach, between burial and being misasek in burial. So burial, you definitely bury him, but l'sasek b'kvuraso, to give him tachrichim and burial shrouds and other tzarchei kvura, to bury him with the same way, with the same covet as you would other mason, maybe that you don't do. But al kopanim, bury him, you definitely have to bury him. Now the Chasim Sofer and Simon Kuftzari Hei in his Tshuvas writes that even though doing business on Shabbos is only an Issa d'Rabbanan, nevertheless, that's only if you do it from time to time. But if one opens up his store on Shabbos, constantly, he's called a Mechal Shabbos before Hesia, because it says in the Torah the word Shabbosom, which means rest, and that means that if you make your Shabbos like a chol, and you're really busy like a chol tik a day, you're mevatel the mitzvah of Shabbosom, and the person is considered a Mechal Shabbos midaraisa. So, that is taken from a famous Ramban in Parashas Emor, who says that. So, right now, Rav Ashri is getting to this question of this man who was a Mechal Shabbos, who had a store open. So maybe this guy was an Avarin Doraisa, because he had a store open. However, maybe we can say that this only applies if the person is working in the store himself. But maybe this person wasn't doing anything himself. Maybe he had a Goyim working for him. And if he has Goyim working for him, then it's not as bad. Because that's the famous Beis Meir and Ivan Ezer and Simon Hay, who answers the kasha of the Pnei Yoshua. Pnei Yoshua says that if we hold Yesh Lichus L'Akam L'Chumrah, then how can we say that it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan to ask have a Goy to do a Melacha for you on Shabbos? It's really D'Oraisa, because Yesh Lichus L'Akam. So if you go to chumrah when it's to be makel, you can't have a goy be your shliach. Meaning, if somebody wants a goy to be his shliach to make a certain chalos or whatever it is, gittin, so there the goy can't be a shliach. But the chumrah, where it will result in a chumrah, like for example Shmiras Shabbos, it should be asr midor raisa to have a goy do malacha for you because yesh lichus lakum lechumrah. So the answer, the famous answer of the Beis Meir is, and since the shliach here is in a bar chiyuva, then the mishalech will be chayav. So the Jew who sends the goy to do work for him will be chayav. Midor raisa, it's as if the Jew did it. Shlichus, shluchus adam kamoso. So the Beis Meir says that on Shabbos we can't talk about shlichus. Why? Because on Shabbos malacha be'etzim is not asr. The Torah wanted the person to rest. And therefore, if the person's resting, then he's not by definition being mechal Shabbos, because his body is resting. So if he sends a goy to do it for him, you're right, the malacha is being done at his behest, and it's as if he's doing it, but his body, lemaisa, his body is still resting. So the Torah got its goal was fulfilled, that the person's body is resting, and therefore, on Shabbos, we can't talk about shlichus lakum normally, if it's just another type of shlichus. So there, as long as the ma'isa was done, if we say yesh lichus l'chumra, we can attribute it to the Jew. But on Shabbos, there's a special din that the body has to rest, and that's the yisur malacha on Shabbos. So if one sends a goy to do it, his body is resting. So he's mekayim Shabbos. So maybe this person wasn't really mechal Shabbos midoraisa because he had other people doing his work for him. He had other people working in his store for him. The only thing is that besides the mekachu memkar aspect, mekachu memkar is only a derabanan, you're right. And he had other people, even though he was doing it b'kavius, maybe he had other people doing it for him. So, therefore, since he had other people doing it for him on Shabbos, he's not considered a mechal Shabbos d'oraisa, because just to have his store open, it's not so geshmak, but it's not asr midoraisa, because maybe other people are doing the work for him. However, forget about the mekachu memkar aspect. But what about writing? Stomach, he was writing. Back then, most people used to smoke. Mustami, he was smoking also. So maybe he is an Avari Midoraisa. So, he says that Lemaisa, Halacha Lemaisa, we're going to find the schus for this person. Now, as we've seen in the earlier tshuvas, every tshuva we've done so far has been a kula. Ashuri always likes to make things easier for the living. So he always finds shittas and poskim to justify something that'll make it easier. If it's a person who wants to wear tefillin, so he'll find a shita that says that you can put tefillin on your right arm if he was missing his left arm. That's one shuva we did. The person who didn't have a bris milah and he wanted a non-from Jew, that was the only person in the ghetto, a non-from doctor, to perform the bris milah. So Rav Ashuri allowed this. And other shuvas we've seen, Rav Ashuri tries to find kula. So here also he says, I want to be melamed tzchus on this yid, and allow him to be buried in a proper Jewish burial. So he says, what can we do for him? First of all, even though he had his store open, nevertheless, who said he was involved? It was a really, really big store. So maybe other people did all the work for him, and he didn't do anything. Maybe his body did rest, and he wasn't busy with anything. Other people were doing the writing. You know, Jews, you know, we're the CEO, and that we delegate responsibility. Maybe he was delegating his authority. He was sitting and eating his cholent while his workers were working for him. So who knows? Who knows if he really was doing all of these malachos? Who knows if he really wrote on Shabbos? Who knows if he really smoked on Shabbos? Maybe he davened. He didn't go to shul. Maybe he davened at home. But what about the issue of being parish midarkei at Sibur? Because he was, obviously, he was definitely being over on Mitzvahs Derabbanan. He definitely had his store open on Shabbos. He was walking around over there. So, at least Derabbanan. So, Ein Achinami. We're not going to treat him necessarily, you know, Velus and other things like other Mason. But Kavura, like we said, no matter what, no matter how you look at it, no matter how you twist it, no matter how you turn it, we definitely have to bury him. So, because as we said, all people get burials, even Rishayim. However, Rav Ashuri goes even further, and he says that not only do you have to bury him, but you should bury him and give him a burial together with all the other Jews. Because even though before the Goyim, the Germans, brought him to this ghetto, he was one of those guys who we quoted the Mechaber earlier on as saying that we shouldn't mourn for such a person. Ain onin in vain misablim aleihem, a person who threw off the yoke of mitzvahs, who's parish midake hatzibur, you don't mourn for him. So l'chor, until now, he had the status of somebody for whom you don't mourn. Nevertheless, after they brought him to the ghetto, and they stole all of his money, and they killed his family, and now he was alone and childless, rachmana litzlan, he definitely did tshuva shlema on what he had done in the past. And in fact, that's what he said. He said that when he got to the ghetto, he said, at least now I'll die amongst my fellow Jews. That's what he wanted. He wanted the covet of dying amongst Jews. It shows that he had felt a shaychus to the Jewish people. There's a tshuva of the Radbaz. I once saw quoted of all places in the Ksavim of Tzarek HaKoyim in Lublin. Radbaz says that it's Yehar Gval Yavor for a person to convert to Islam. Why? Hi, Islam's not about a zar, it's not one of the big three. The answer is that if a person renounces his Jewishness, he's beyond the pale. A person has to acknowledge the fact that he's a Jew. That's number one. That's the ABC of Judaism. Acknowledge that you're a Jew. And to the extent that a person acknowledges that he's a Jew, he's a Jew. He's a good Jew. The more acknowledgement he makes of the fact, the better a Jew he is. We see Chazal were critical of Moshe. It says, Yosef, hoda ba'artzo, nikbar ba'artzo, Moshe lo hoda ba'artzo, lo nikbar ba'artzo. Yosef said, Ivri anochi. Moshe, when the Bnos Yisro said that Ish Mitzri Yitzilano min Aroim, he didn't protest. So Yosef acknowledged the Jewishness, and Moshe didn't. Of course, the Mefarshim asked, when the Bnos Yisro said, Ish Ivri Hitzilanu Mi'ad, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Mi'ad Aroim, an Egyptian man saved us, Moshe wasn't even there. How can we be critical of Moshe? And because of that, he wasn't buried in Eretz Yisrael. So I saw once in the Birkas Mordechai from a Gaon of Baruch Mordechai Zrachel, the Shiva of Eretz Yisrael, he said, because everything about Moshe should have said that he's a Yid. And from the fact that they thought he was a Mitzri, there was already something wrong. In any event, what I'm trying to bring out here is that this person said, I want to be a Jew. I want to be buried with the Jews. So that in itself is an act of tshuva. He was being shoved by tshuva l'am Yisrael. It's another type of tshuva. There's tshuva like the traditional meaning of tshuva. There's tshuva on one's averus. There's tshuva which is talking about the Ema Banim Smecha, tshuva to Eretz Yisrael. And then there's also tshuva. Tshuva, I want to return to the Jewish people. I want to be part of the Ichben Ayid. Ichben Ayid, that's also tshuva. And I want to die like a Jew. And the tshuvas of a Goyim Rav Engel in Chelek Shishi, Hagrash Engel, in Simon Gimel, he was asked why they bury people who weren't such tzaddikim next to people who've already been dead for a long time. The people who've been dead for a long time are now considered tzaddikim. They already got kapara. Whereas the people who are being put in the ground now, they're not tzaddikim. They haven't had the kapara yet. Their body hasn't dissolved yet, and they haven't gotten whatever they were supposed to get in Shemayim. So it's really like burying a rasha next to a tzaddik. So he says that you don't have to worry about it, because otherwise every Jew would need their own beis hakvaras. Or every Jew would at least need their own row, because you're not even allowed to bury a Rosh Hachamre till a Rosh Hakal. So therefore, the second you put so if you take this seriously, so then every Jew is going to, everybody on their own level is going to need, you're going to need a lot of Pesach verses. Rather, he says, we assume that even those who weren't so Gishmak, who were Kalim, they died through Tshuva, and the Misan Kvura are Miskaper, and therefore don't be so Makvid. He's a little bit more of a Russia. He's a little bit less of a Russia. So assume that that the people who died assume that they did tshuva before they died. So even though the other fellow was in the ground for longer, and maybe he already got his kapara, so he's less of a Russia, and the person being put in the ground now is more of a Russia. But assume that he did tshuva. So I don't know if he's saying to what extent you should be mak, but I don't have the tshuva in front of me. Rabbi Shri just quotes it, and he says ayin sham, but I don't have it to be my ayin sham. But the basic idea is that we don't have to be makbid on each person exactly what level he's on. We can just assume very generally that to put Mamisha Rasha Gamor next to a tzaddik, I'm sure he wouldn't say to do that. But a person who died and he was a Rasha, so to bury him next to somebody who used to be a Rasha, but now already has gotten kapara. So we shouldn't worry about that and say, so the person who's already been dead for a while has kapara, and this person is just being put in the ground now, so it's not nice to put the person who's now a Rasha next to somebody who's no longer a Rasha. He says not to be makbid, assume the person who's being buried in tshuva, and shalom al Yisrael. So he says, al achas kama v'kama in our case, that there's reglaim l'dover, there's reason to believe that the person did tshuva. And that's what he said. He said, listen, now I'll be able to die amongst Jews. Before, and I wouldn't have had that opportunity. So beforehand, he wanted to be like a goy, and now he wants to be like a Jew, so we can put him with the Jews. Not only that, definitely when he saw the Germans killing the Jews, but also Shah, he was definitely Mahar B'tshuva. And you see the same svara by Lo Aleinu when a person commits suicide, even though the strict halacha is not to sit shiva for such a person. But today, the assumption is that before he actually died, he regretted what he did. When Lo Aleinu, a person jumps out a window, so we assume that before he hit the ground, he regretted his actions, and the poskim today, if I'm not mistaken, our more rule that the family should be Yoshev Shiva. Here also, this person, let's assume that he did Shuva, he wanted to be part of the Jewish people, until now he didn't, but now he thought until now the Germans, they're so cultured, they're so educated, and they listen to classical music, and they go to the opera, and they go to museums, and they read books, and they talk about philosophy, and they're so well-dressed, and they have so much manners. And like one of the Talmidim of Rav Abba Braunschweigel Shlita told me that Rav Braunschweigel once said in Shir that in Germany before the war, you'd get on a bus or on a train, and an older person, and six people would stand up for that person. Six people. Everyone, please take my seat, sir, her. Her hair, that's like H-E-R-R. Please, everybody was so minumas and had such good manners and was so educated and upscale and such wonderful people. Wow! The Germans, I don't want to mention the person, but there was a famous Rav who wrote very glowingly of German culture. This was well before the Holocaust. I'm sure that now when their true colors were revealed, he would have had other things to say. But until then, until 1933, Germany was so wonderful there. They were, wow, to be like a German. That's, you say in the morning, Shalom, sunny, non-German. That's it. And when you become a German, Germans, you also in America, a lot of the German Jews, when they came to America, unfortunately, if you read the history books, you see that they look down and they lived on the Upper West Side of Manhattan and they had fancy apartments. And then all these dirty, smelly Jews came from Russia and Poland, living on the Lower East Side with their push carts, an embarrassment. Some of them with their payas and their beards and their talis and their tefillins and their mikvahs and the chas v'shalom. I'm not expressing myself in that way. I'm saying that's unfortunately the way the assimilated German Jews, Reform Jews, would look at the newer immigrants. But then after a while, when it comes down to it, when there's a it's Purim coming up this week, when there's a Haman HaRasha who makes a gzeira that Anashim V'taf should all be killed, genocide, or everybody on one day, not like the Nazis, it took them 6 years. Baruch Hashem, they weren't Natsliach. One day, any goy sees a Jew, chop his head off. So that we realize that we're really all one. We're not Germans, Russians, but we're all one. I'm Yisrael. Like the Sfasena says in the Haggadah, Shelo echad bilvad om aleinu l'chaloseinu v'akadosh baruch hu matzileinu miyadam. Shelo echad bilvad, just the fact that we didn't have achdus. Om aleinu l'chaloseinu. That's what caused us almost to be destroyed. So that's our problem. That we don't realize that we're really all one. And there's nothing to be mekane. We obviously should treat Gentiles with dignity and respect. There's no question about that. Durachei adarchei noam v'chol nesivosei ha-shalom. Rabbi Yochanan would be makdim shalom b'shuk when he would see even a guy, no matter who he'd see in the market, he would say hello, and Rabbi Yochanan was holding high. On the highest levels of Kabbalah, and Sichas the Kolam, as it says in Sukkah and Chavches. Nevertheless, despite all this respect that we treat and dignity we treat them with, But we don't want to be like them. We definitely don't want to be like them. We want to be like Jews. And this person, after he saw the true face of the Nazi, when Nazism reared its ugly head, he definitely said, oh, I don't want to be part of those people. I want to be part of Am Yisrael. I want to be misachid with my brothers. So such a person definitely, almost definitely, did tshuva shlema, and he realized how special the Jewish people are, and that we would never do such a thing, the way to treat, for no reason, to treat another nation like vermin, to exterminate them, they treated us a lot worse than you would treat a cockroach. A lot worse. So he realized that, and he did tshuva shlema. Zok Rav Oshri, in conclusion, Vazos HaReisi Sheish L'Sasek Im Nifter Zeh, B'dom Eliezer Niftarim Shebegito, L'Sis Lo Tachrichim, no, give him all the kavod, give him burial shrouds, bury him, B'derech Kavod Efshari, L'Fi Anoeg, B'Shur Achas Im Yehudim, together with the other Jews, V'chein La'achar Shemilei Esarasi, Nizbar B'Litzel Shel Safik, Shaniftar HaZeh, Chazar B'Tshuva Shleimo, K'idu Alav Achakach, Shebetok Beso, Yavis Atif B'Talis, So there's a happy ending. They found out that the guy really was from. The guy really did tshuva. He used to sit in his house, and he would wear talis, and he would wear tefillin. And he was careful about tzitzis, to wear a little bosh talis cut in al gufo, to wear this talis cut in. And after his kfura, they found all of this in his home. So the question was, should we bury him? The answer is absolutely. Should we bury him with all the cover that we would accord to other mason? And the answer is absolutely. Certainly, if a person was killed by the Nazis, he wasn't killed, he died of cancer, but if a person was killed, I would suggest, I would add on to what Rashi said, and I would say that you definitely would give him all of the cover and burial, because of the famous Tshuva and the Chasim Sofer, who says that if a person dies because he's Jewish, such a person is dying al Kiddush Hashem, and he's considered a complete tzaddik, and he gets a special place in Gan Eden, and it doesn't really matter what he did in his lifetime, so therefore anybody killed by the Nazis would be accorded all of the kavod in his burial, because such a person died at tzaddik, and this person as well, even though he wasn't killed by the Nazis, he died of cancer, Rachmana Litzlan, with great pains, but nevertheless, he returned to Am Yisrael, and he did tshuva, and we should be zoche, that we should never have to experience the things that I described in this tshuva, and the suffering of the Jewish people, under the hands of a foreign rule, and we should be zocha, like it says in the Rambam, that the Jewish people don't want Mashiach to come so we can beat up the other nations, and that we should take revenge. Rather, we want Mashiach, and not that we can be, should we should be rich and have nice houses. Rather, we want Mashiach to come so that we can just sit and learn Torah. V'loya esa ka'olam el ladas es Hashem bilvad. The whole business of the world will be Das Hashem. The world will be Be'ezus Hashem. One big yeshiva, two big yeshivas. A yeshiva for boys, a seminary for girls. The women will study with the women. The men will study with the men. It'll be a world of complete Das Hashem, where all the good will be felt, all of the schar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been waiting to give us for so long, and that the Jews so well deserve after all their suffering, Al Kiddush Hashem, and that we should be zocha b'karov mamish to see that day, b'vias Mashiach tzidkenu, u'v'binyan bayis shlishi, b'mheira v'yamenu, amen v'yamen, shalom shalom, sweetest friends.